God has a lot of good things in store for us, but Skip Heitzig warns that they won't all come easily.
God has inheritance for you. God has a portion for you. And says, here, occupy this. Here, walk in this. Here, enjoy this in your life. And yet, battles will come. And so you'll wonder, is God really in control? Is he really in charge? Is God directing me? Why are things not working out? Because you may have an expectation that says, once I come to God and commit my life to God and commit my day to God, everything's going to flow smoothly. Get that out of your head. That's a misplaced expectation. You see, the Lord wants you and I to mature, wants you and I to trust him. And sometimes we can really develop our trust deeply only when we're going through the fire.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Every year, American Idol gives someone the chance to go from obscurity to superstardom. Well, King David didn't have to audition or sing to win the popular vote of viewers to do that. He went from a sheep herder to the leader of Israel, all because he was humble enough to follow God. Now, when you consider the amazing things that God did with King David, it kind of makes you wonder what he could do with someone who's willing just to serve him with a humble heart. And Skip Heitzig continues our series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet, today here on The Connection. But first, here's one way you can serve God. Share the good news all over the world.
Paris, the city of lights, the city of love, but a city that needs to hear about real love, the agape love of God. Paris may have a reputation of being a city for its many streets, canals, and bridges, and romantic ambiance, but only the love of Christ will satisfy our desire for true love. Help us share this good news in the streets of Paris and around the world as a member of the Global Connectors. Join today for just $25 a month. And when you do, not only will you help us share the truth about love with people all over the world, you'll also receive a free resource each month. This month, you'll receive a teaching from Michael Dente from Calvary Chapel, Paris.
In a city so known, therefore, for its immorality, its intellectualism, and its riches, it would appear that Paul only saw one solution to cure their spiritual ills, and that was to know Christ, to know Jesus Christ, and to know him crucified.
When people think romance, they often think of Paris. But in order to truly experience love, what we need is not a trip to a city of romance, but a trip to the cross. Help us share the good news of God's love in Paris and around the world as a member of the Global Connectors. Call today, 1-800-922-1888, or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, from Mexico to Macedonia, Global Connectors are helping us take the Word of God worldwide, and we'd love you to be part of that when you call 1-800-922-1888 or by logging on to connectionradio.org. You know, it's one thing to go from the shadows to the spotlight as a singer, but it's an entirely different prospect to go from watching sheep to leading a nation as a king. How did this happen in David's life? We'll get an overview of that today, right here on The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
Skip Heitzig continues through the early chapters of 2 Samuel today, so if you'll open your Bibles, he'll continue our study.
Not only are the Kohathites walking the 9-mile journey up the hill, they're stopping every 6 paces, you know, just a little extra worship. And they offer an animal sacrifice, they walk 6 more paces, offer another animal. It's like, we're going to go really slow. We don't want anybody dying on this job. You know, we don't want to make God any more angry than we made him. So let's just do it God's prescribed way, but then let's like kick in a little bit extra. And we'll worship and sacrifice on the way. And so they did. Then David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. Now chapter 7. Again, if you want to write in your Bible, call this the covenant with the king's king. The covenant with the king's king, the king being David, the king's king being God. That's what chapter 7 is about. Chapter 7, folks, is one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. The rest of the message of the Bible onward, listen carefully, rests upon this chapter and the promise that is made in it. In fact, I will say this. It's going to be hard to understand the prophets. It's going to be hard to understand the ministry of Jesus. And it's going to be hard to understand eschatology unless you understand this chapter. It all rests upon this. A promise, a covenant that God makes with King David. I'll give you a sampling. The New Testament begins with these words. This is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And that's put there for a reason. When Gabriel gives the message, the Christmas message to Mary in Luke chapter 1, we read, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father, David. And the New Testament closes with these words in Revelation 22, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you that these things in the churches are true. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. So we're going to read about a covenant. Now, David has built his house. And David looks out and the ark has been brought up, but the ark is not in a house, it's in a tent. And David's rationally thinking, goes, now, I don't know why I should live in such a nice house, and the ark of God is living out there in that tent. So I want to build a temple for God, a house for God. Now God's going to come and say, you know, actually, I don't really care about a big monument or a big building. I've been happy in the tent. But David wants to build a temple for God. Verse 10, moreover, the Lord says, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, and that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since that time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. That is a lineage, a genealogy. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne, or the throne of his kingdom, forever. Now notice the I wills in what we just read. Several times I counted 5 I wills that God said. David said, I'm going to build a house for God. God says, slow down, buckaroo. I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And 5 times the Lord says, I will, I will, I will. God is making a covenant with David of what God will do. And it's an unconditional covenant. Now, I'll sum it up this way. The covenant states that David will have a son, and that son, we find out, is King Solomon, who will build the temple, literally. But also as part of this covenant, the throne of David will be established forever. That will be fulfilled through the greater son of David, the offspring of David, which is Jesus Christ, not Solomon. What we have here in chapter 7 is a blending. Get used to this because it's frequent in the Old Testament, a blending of the immediate and the distant fulfillment, all in one. You find that a lot now in the Old Testament, where you have 2 different or 3 different components, some fulfilled immediately, some fulfilled in the distance. So Solomon, the son, Jesus Christ, the greater son, and the throne established forever through him. Solomon is sort of the archetype of Jesus Christ, the greater son of David. David's house, or his dynasty, will last until the Babylonian captivity. Then it will be cut off. Now, we'll get to this later on in the end of 2 Chronicles and also in Jeremiah chapter 22. You may want to just want to write that little note down, maybe in your Bible, Jeremiah 22, because here's what happens. King after king after king after king comes from David's household, and they all reign. Then there's one king named Jeconiah, or Jehoiachin. He's called a couple of different things in the Bible, but Jeconiah. And he's so wicked, and God finally says, I've had enough. I'm sending you into captivity. And Jeconiah, his lineage, will now be cursed and cut off. There will never be another king from his loins to sit upon the throne. Well, now we have a problem. If God said the throne of David will be established forever, the lineage of David will be established forever, but then God says, I'm cursing that lineage. No more will a king rise from his lineage. How's God going to fulfill his promise? That's a good question. And it's unanswered until we get to the New Testament. And we read the New Testament, we read Matthew and we read Luke, and we find that there's a genealogy in Matthew and a genealogy in Luke, and they're different from one another. And one covers the genealogy of Jesus Christ through Joseph, and the other covers the genealogy of Jesus Christ through Mary. Now, was Joseph the father of Jesus? No, he wasn't. He's the foster father, right? Because Jesus was born of a virgin through the Virgin Mary. One of the genealogies covers the genealogy of Jesus through Joseph, and Joseph goes back to David through Solomon and Jeconiah, whose bloodline has been cursed. Mary has her genealogy all the way back to King David, but not through Solomon, through another son of David named Nathan. So you have something beautiful here. Jesus has the legal right to reign because Joseph, his adopted foster father, has the lineage all the way back to the throne of David through all of the kings, including the one that's cursed. You say, but it's cursed. You're right, but Jesus has the legal right because of the adoption, the foster father relationship. He has the legal right to reign, but his bloodline isn't cursed. It goes back, since he's born of a virgin, through Mary to King David. So God can curse the line of David and yet fulfill his promise simply by having his Messiah, the son of David, pure, born of a virgin, born of a virgin. That's what solves the problem. So if you have any confusion about that, I can try to unwrap that for you afterwards a little bit. But it's a beautiful way of God getting out of his own curse, his own problem. There's only one way to do that, and that is a virgin birth. We'll discuss more about that in a few weeks, actually, on a Sunday morning. But let's go on. Verse 18. And King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? David is so overwhelmed, he realizes God's greatness and his smallness, that God promised him not only would his son sit upon the throne, but also there would be an everlasting lineage and an everlasting kingdom. And he's just thankful. And sometimes we're at an end of our human language to express thanks to God. Sometimes you just sit in God's presence and you can say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And it's like, it doesn't really express all that's in my heart. So I am thankful that God has provided a way to communicate to him directly from my spirit to his spirit, to even bypass my intellect through one of the spiritual gifts that is one of the most complete ways of worship that honors him. And you can find out more about that in the afterglow tonight. Well, the next three chapters, and we'll close our study tonight. The next three chapters, you could take 8, 9, and 10 together. A conquering leader, a kind gesture, a cold shoulder. A conquering leader, a kind gesture, a cold shoulder. Those are chapters 8, 9, and 10. Chapter 8, David is established. He expands the borders. He takes over more territory. Geopolitical expansion. Military alliances. That's chapter 8. Chapter 9 is a story of kindness. One of Jonathan's son named Mephibosheth is left because David loved Jonathan so much he wanted to show kindness to the house of Jonathan, and so he does. Verse 1, David said, chapter 9, verse 1, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And that's Mephibosheth. Now here's something, again, beautiful about David. Typically, traditionally, historically, when a king came to power, any possible claimant from the family that he conquered would be immediately exterminated, immediately killed. It was just protocol because there could be a coup later on. So you just go through and you wipe them out. David says, "Is there anybody left from that other regime that I can show kindness to?" And that was Mephibosheth. Verse 13, Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he's always at the king's table, and he was crippled in both of his feet. David shows him kindness, takes him in, feeds him, etc. Folks, we live in an unkind world. And you know what? You know what that means? Because we live in an unkind world, we have countless opportunities every day. This is what I mean. Because we live in an unkind world, if you would just pause from time to time to show an act of kindness to someone, it'll so blow their mind. It stands out from the darkness so much that could open up a door for you to share the love of Christ with the person. Today, several of us were down at the downtown convention center where we, in cooperation with Joy Junction, fed about 1,500 homeless people. And we were playing music and feeding them. And I was watching the volunteers as they were getting down on their knees and having conversations with them and feeding them turkey and feeding them pie and smiling and engaging in conversation. And you just saw these folks come alive. This gesture of kindness went so far. It's so noticeable. And it was with Mephibosheth. Chapter 10 is a cold shoulder. And this is how chapter 10 goes down. Next to the nation of Israel, immediately east, was a country called Ammon. Ammon. Have you ever heard of Amman, Jordan? The capital of modern-day Jordan, Amman, Jordan. That is named after the ancient country that used to occupy there, the Ammonites. And David extends his kindness to the Ammonites, but it's not received very well. The king of Ammon is a guy by the name of Hanun. And Hanun is the son of the previous king called Nahash. Nahash died. David, being a good guy, wants to be kind to the son and gives him a greeting and a gift. But when they see the coalition of soldiers coming, they misinterpret it. They're thinking, that's David. He's trying to spy on us and he wants to attack us, and these are foot soldiers. And it really was a kind gesture, but it was misinterpreted and misunderstood. So verse 4, Hanun seized David's men, shaved off half of each man's beard, an overture of shame, cut off their garments in the middle at the buttocks, and sent them away. It's amazing what you find in the Bible, isn't it? And if you're a dude and you come back with your beard all gnarly and your head all gnarly and your skimpy little mini skirt, it's very embarrassing. These are emissaries of the king. And it was done deliberately to shame David and his men. Now, as soon as the Ammonites did it, they thought, uh-oh, we really blew it. We made a mistake. And they knew that David would attack them. And so what they did is they hired 33,000 Syrian and other mercenaries. It's like, oh, we blew it. David's going to attack us. We need help. So they hired these guys. David says, Joab, go out and get them. Joab divides his men into two companies, and they defeat the Ammonites. Sad. Sad, because this misunderstanding cost the lives of 50,000 men. And it caused their province to be subjugated by David. He would have left them alone. So this is how I want to close. Even though God selected David, man after his own heart, next king, and God gave him the authority and God gave him the kingdom, David still had battles to fight. Receiving the promise of God, coming into the authority that God had for him, yet David had battles to fight. And you know what? We will too. God has inheritance for you. God has a portion for you. And says, here, occupy this. Here, walk in this. Here, enjoy this in your life. And yet, battles will come. And so you'll wonder, is God really in control? Is he really in charge? Is God directing me? Why are things not working out? Because you may have an expectation that says, once I come to God and commit my life to God and commit my day to God, everything's going to flow smoothly. Get that out of your head. That's a misplaced expectation. You see, the Lord wants you and I to mature, wants you and I to trust him. And sometimes we can really develop our trust deeply only when we're going through the fire. So if you're wondering, why the fire? Why the trials? Why the scars? How could you ever grow and be Christ-like without them? Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary, wrote a beautiful little poem, a little treatise of as if Christ were speaking to us, asking these questions. Hast thou no scar, no hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? Can he have followed far who has no wound or scar? How many of you have scars in your life, emotionally, spiritually? Oh God, why would you let that happen? Because I love you, that's why. I want you to grow, I want you to mature. You're following the one who got beat up and was rejected. So, we're growing, we're learning, and yet walking in victory and in the inheritance God has for us.
You know, nothing worth having ever comes easy, or so the saying goes, and it's no different in the Christian life. Yes, God has some amazing things in store for us, an incredible inheritance for us to enjoy, but we're going to face some battles and have to do some hard work before we come into that inheritance. That may sound intimidating and even discouraging, but never forget that what we'll gain far outweighs the cost. Plus, God will be there to help us every step of the way, just as he did with David. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, here's how you can order Skip's brand new book, Godprint.
There are over 6 billion people in the world, and yet we all have a unique fingerprint. Now consider this. There are so many people that need to hear about Jesus Christ, and each of us have a personality and calling that will help make that happen, but only if we are faithful and obedient. So, what sort of mark will you leave on this world? Will it be a life of self-indulgence or a path of selfless service? That's a choice only you can make. And be sure your decision will leave its mark, either wood, hay, and stubble, or a priceless life of serving Jesus Christ. In Skip Heitzig's new book, Godprint, discover how God used a single man named Abraham to change the world forever, and how he can do the similar work through each and every one of us. Plus, when you order Godprint, we'll also send you The Royal Road of Love, featuring a special CD teaching plus 2 original songs by Skip Heitzig.
There is no subject so universally treated, written about, sung about, than love. You couldn't count all the love songs that have been written. Love songs to girlfriends, to boyfriends, to husbands, to wives, to pets. Why? Simply because we all crave love. We all want to know that we are genuinely, unconditionally loved. We want love more than anything, and we will do anything to get it.
Get these resources for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The impression God left on this world through Abraham resonates to this day. What sort of impression might he make through you? Learn how to make your mark for Christ in the new book, Godprint, by Skip Heitzig. Order today, and we'll also send you The Royal Road of Love, featuring a message and original songs from Skip Heitzig. Both the book and the CD set are just $25. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
And as you take advantage of that offer, also don't forget to ask for a copy of today's teaching when you do so. It's available for just $6, which includes shipping. And you can order at our website, connectionradio.org, or when you call 1-800-922-1888. Thanks for joining us today. And don't forget that it's your generous contributions that make these daily programs possible. So if you can, consider sharing just a little extra when you order today's teaching. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
And make the connection.
We'll continue through the book of 2 Samuel next time as we see David stumble in his walk with God and the lessons we can learn from that. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.